Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sean Paul from the Mountain West Wire. Sean, how are you today? Enjoying the games?
It's been a great day so far. I mean, I didn't see Princeton knocking off Arizona in the 15-2 game over there, so it's been a pretty entertaining day of basketball, and hopefully it only continues in the next couple days and weeks.
Yeah, this is pretty much becoming routine now in the NCAA tournament. I think it's the third year in a row that a 15 seed has knocked off a 2 seed. And, of course, last year, St. Peter's 15 seed made it all the way to the Elite Eight. So anything is possible come this time of year. The one thing that didn't seem possible, Sean, was the Mountain West Conference winning a game in March Madness. I mean, Nevada really got outclassed last night. I mean, they just didn't bring it at all against Arizona State. Utah State, I thought played, you know, hard, played with some heart today, but they couldn't knock in a three-point shot, and they eventually fell short against Missouri. So San Diego State was able to get a win finally, but it's been since 2018 since the conference had an NCAA tournament win. So a deep exhale from the Mountain West there.
I mean, you had to hope that San Diego State was going to get it done, especially after that pretty rocky start against Charleston. Charleston's a really good team in their own right, 31 wins for a reason. But San Diego State got it going, and Matt Bradley made some big shots, and he was really important for them in this game. They're going to need him in the next round against Furman, because Furman's a really good team, as we saw today. They beat Virginia.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting game. I think San Diego State has all the tools to make a run in the NCAA tournament, though. But speaking of Utah State, the other Mountain West team, I'm not sure this game could have went worse for them. I mean, they went 4-for-24 from three, and that's what they're good at. That's the reason they were in the NCAA tournament to begin with. That's why they won 26 games. They can really shoot the basketball, and they just cannot buy a three-point bucket all night, and Missouri was able to take advantage of them inside. So it was a pretty rough game for Utah State, but now you have Boise State playing Northwestern here in a little bit. Hopefully the Mountain West is able to get another win there, but if not, yeah, San Diego State to carry the load for the conference.
Carry the torch, as it were, for sure, yeah.
Sean Paul of the Mountain West Wire here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. And we were talking about this a little bit earlier, but I'm curious to get your take on Princeton and Arizona and why 15 seeds and 16 seeds, not as often with the 16 seed, but 15 seeds, why are they able to keep up with these great teams that everybody picks to win the entire thing and then eventually beat them in the first round? What do you think about that?
I honestly don't know if there's an exact science to it. I think it's really just anything can happen on any given night. You know, it's college basketball. You see these kind of upsets during the regular season, too, in the non-conference slate, but they're not talked about as much as you have college football and all that other stuff going on during the non-conference slate of college basketball. But these things happen regularly. So it's not all that surprising. I didn't see Princeton winning this one. They had some size to compete with Arizona, with Umar Ballo and Azulis Tubelis being their two big guys, Arizona that is, and you have Tosani Iwoma is really good for Princeton. He's 6'8", and Keyshawn Kelman is 6'9". But Princeton is really a high-volume three-point shooting team, and if they are making threes, they're probably not going to win a ton of games. And they couldn't buy a three today, and they end up winning the game on the defensive end because Arizona could not score in the final 8 minutes. So that's not exactly how I saw this game panning out, even if Princeton were to win. I would have assumed that they shot the lights out of the building, but they didn't do that. They played elite defense, and that led them to a 15-2 victory. So I think just any given night, you know, anything can happen in college basketball. You get a team on a bad night, and you can go win a basketball game. So I think there's no exact science to it. It's just basketball is going to be basketball.
I think you're right, Sean. I mean, you look at this, especially nowadays. I mean, it used to be where the power conferences got all the top players, and they developed those players, and they stayed for 3 or 4 years. And these teams became almost unbeatable, you know, the Dukes and the Carolinas and the, you know, the rest of them. But now, I mean, with the transfer rule, you got a lot of good players moving around the country, changing teams, and guys that, you know, are sixth men somewhere at a power conference want to start and play every night 40 minutes at a less than power conference school. And, you know, we've said it all year, there isn't a dominant team in college basketball. This tournament is wide open, and I think, you know, that's what's given everybody a little more hope, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at a guy on a 15 seed, it's Drew Pember from UNC Asheville. He couldn't get off the bench at Tennessee, goes and wins the Big South Player of the Year, averaging 20 points per game. And now he's a star player for a team that made the NCAA tournament. They're playing a shorthanded UCLA team tonight. So they're a pretty good example. He's a pretty good example of what can happen when you're a high major player that's just not getting those minutes and he wants to prove himself at a lower level. He goes there, gets into the tournament. They could very well beat UCLA tonight if a few things click right. If they're able to hit some three-point shots, if he's able to get going, if they're able to stop Jaime Hawkins, that's a lot of keys. But if UNC Asheville is able to knock a few of those keys down, then I think they're capable of winning that game. Again, it's a long shot, but the pieces are there for UNC Asheville to at least compete in that game. I don't think we see 2 15-2 upsets in one day, but anything's possible. But you're definitely right. The transfer portals help mid-major schools get a lot better and more competitive.
San Diego State, of course, got their win over College of Charleston. Let's get back to the Aztecs for a second. Sean Paul is with us from the Mountain West Wire. And obviously you mentioned it. Bradley was really the go-to guy today. And, you know, this has been a little different Aztec team this year than a year ago when Bradley was kind of what they had to rely on. That was the story today. None of his teammates really stepped up with big games. Mm-hmm. Is San Diego State going to have some guys come through on Saturday if they're going to make it to the Sweet 16?
100%. If they have an offensive performance like they did today, I don't think they're beating Furman because Furman has so many different weapons. Yeah, Mike Bothwell, who's their leading scorer, he fouled that with about 7 minutes left today against Virginia, and they were still able to knock down a 7-point deficit in that same time span to win the game. Jalen Flossen, the Conference Player of the Year, he's a really versatile player, and I think he could take advantage of San Diego State a little bit on both ends of the floor. And then you have a few guys off the bench like Alex Williams, who's a versatile forward, Ben Vanderwall, and then Garrett Keene, who made some really big plays today, and of course J.P. Pegues, who was the game winner. That's just six or seven guys right there that are very important pieces for Furman, and all of those guys can score the basketball. So I think Furman's very capable of winning this game, and San Diego State and San Diego State fans should not take them lightly because they are really good, but the Aztecs have to score the basketball a little better to win that game.
Talking to Sean Paul of the Mountain West Wire on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline, and with the Aztecs win, Brian Dutcher gets his first tournament win of his career, and he didn't win the Coach of the Year for the Mountain West, but Brian Dutcher is a guy who's been in the tournament so many times before. Are you kind of surprised it took him so long to get to this point that he got his first win?
Yeah, definitely a little surprised. But at the same time, if you think about it, they definitely would have won at least one game in the NCAA tournament the COVID year. So it feels like there should be a little bit of an asterisk there. But you never know what can happen in college basketball, as we saw today with Arizona losing. But he's been so consistent. He's gotten there time and time again. It feels a little wrong for this to be his first NCAA tournament win, but it's good for him to finally get that because I think he's one of the more underrated coaches in the country. Because all he does is win. He just brings San Diego State to the tournament every single season. They're at the top of the Mountain West every single season. He's done a terrific job, and I think he deserves a lot more credit than he gets nationally.
Sean, what are you hearing about the Mountain West moving forward as a conference? Is this, I mean, and we're talking about the, you know, the movement of all of these teams. Is it possible that, is the Mountain West, I guess what I should ask is the Mountain West putting in any backup plans for the, you know, the very real possibility they could lose a San Diego State or some other teams moving out of this conference? I mean, what is the conference saying about all of that?
I'm not for sure what would go on in that situation. Obviously, it seems like there's some interest between the Pac-12 and San Diego State. Obviously, the Pac-12 is losing the Southern California schools here in a couple of years, so they're going to need to add some reinforcements, and San Diego State is definitely atop that list. But the Mountain West has to look in other directions. Maybe you go to a Big Sky school or something like that to add, like in Eastern Washington. They do have a football program that's pretty good. They have a Montana State, some schools like that. I don't know if those are schools that the Mountain West is really looking into. But if you're hoping to add some schools from smaller current conferences, I think you need to look in that direction. Look at those two programs that have been pretty consistent winning programs in both sports, even though the football is at the FCS level. I think you need to look at programs that have had winning success in both football and basketball to be able to move up to the Mountain West. But they definitely need to have some contingency plans in place in case San Diego State does leave, because that's the number one brand in your conference right now, and you're already losing Boise State. So you got to figure out something here fast.
Yeah, we do, or they do, not me. I'm not part of that decision at all. We're talking to Sean Paul.
You're not making the decision?
I'm not. I wish I could.
We don't let him make any decisions, Sean.
No.
Don't worry.
Yeah, yeah. But branching off of that a little bit, I know that the Mountain West was a pretty good conference this year over some of the major level conferences like the ACC. Is there any way you think that the Mountain West can just continue to get stronger and maybe get better as a conference and maybe become a conference that people respect?
I mean, nobody's going to respect the Mountain West entirely until they make a team makes a deep run in the NCAA tournament. I think that's really the only way, because the Pac-12 was constantly hated on until a couple years ago when they had those four teams in the Sweet 16 or whatever it was. You had Oregon State making the Elite Eight. You had USC, Oregon winning games. You had UCLA in the Final Four. Obviously, that was a little different year with COVID going on and everything, but they've got all those teams deep in the tournament, and then people started to change their tune about the Pac-12. So if San Diego State can make a run in the tournament, I think that'll change the way people think about the Mountain West a little bit, because they can see it's possible for a team in this conference to make a run in the NCAA tournament.
And one last thing, Sean, how has San Diego State gotten to the level that it's gotten? You talked about them being the marquee team in this conference, probably the marquee, you know, university when you put football in there with basketball. And you know, I mean, how has Brian Dutcher been able to do it following in the footsteps of Fisher? How has the football team been able to do it? Because, unfortunately, they haven't been able to take a lot of teams along with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one thing is when you're in a good area, like San Diego kind of recruits itself, I feel like. You have to recruit a little bit, the university and the program, but when you can live in San Diego as opposed to some of the other options in the Mountain West, I think you'll take that pretty easily. So I think that's a big aspect to it. And from the athletics part of it, from the basketball part of it at least, I think the culture that Brian Dutcher has kind of established is one of the bigger reasons. Like, his guys are going to play hard no matter what. Even if they're having an off shooting night like they had today, they're going to play hard. And you know that's what you're getting from San Diego State. You have to get buy-in from players, but it seems like every single guy he's brought in buys into that. The transfers, Darion Trammell, Micah Parrish, Matt Bradley, all those guys have bought into playing really hard on the defensive end, and it shows in a win like today.
Well, Sean, we appreciate your expertise.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Appreciate you joining the program. Good stuff. Enjoy the rest of March Madness, and hopefully the Aztecs will keep the Mountain West flag alive for a while longer. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, yes.
Good having you on, as always. Good job. Sean Paul right there from the Mountain West Wire on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads.